I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. And I want to talk to you about rightly dividing, but I want to do it in a doctrinal sense. I'm going to go to the board, and I'm going to put the cross right there, and the books of Romans through Philemon, and then Hebrews through Revelation. And I really want to compare James to this right here. That's what I want to do. And people say, well, it doesn't make a difference. I can tell you that justification, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is probably the most important doctrine in the Bible. Let me try that again. Justification is probably the most important doctrine in the Bible, period. Why? Justification is the sense in which you're justified. Justification is the, it's really almost spells out its own definition. Just as if I had never done it. Justified. I mean, think about it for a minute. It's just as if you'd never done it. It would be as if you were guilty, but you've been cleared. Guilty, cleared. And so people don't, you know, it's fascinating. In fact, I said we're going to start out in Romans chapter 5. We are. But I want you to look at Galatians for just a minute. We're going to turn back to Galatians when we get there. But I want you to think about the doctrinal issues of the Word of God in the sense of doctrine. What is doctrine? That is, doctrine is something you're doing, not necessarily doing, but understanding of the truth. And so, in Galatians chapter 2, let me just read in verse 16. Oh, that's not. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, in all the other translations, people say it doesn't really matter. All the Bible, one says you're justified by the faith of Christ. And the other one says you're justified by the faith in Christ. Well, that's right. Well, no, well, it still wouldn't matter. I mean, the whole context is that is two different people's faiths. Now, I know one thing, that God is not justifying people by two means. Y'all understand? That it is impossible to justify you one way, and then another person says, well, if you believe, I'll justify you too. So that doctrine, people say, well, why do you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God? For that reason alone. That one word, believe it or not, is these one words right here would convince me one is not right and one is wrong. Y'all understand? And people don't make a big deal. But when we're talking about justification, and we're talking about the sinless Son of God, and you mentioned that last Sunday, I believe it was, about Jerry Lockhart, preaching and saying, you know, it would be as if we were Adam and Eve before the fall. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about whatever condition they were before they lost the fellowship with God. So now go back to Romans chapter 5. And it's fascinating that in Romans through Philemon, there is a limited amount of justification. You can look them all up. You can get a concordance out and look them up. And people get confused at what it takes to be justified before a holy and righteous God. That is, let's say this is the throne of God for a minute, and God brings you up. How are you justified before Him? Are you justified in your own action? I would tell you or put a petition out to you that most people would think that I'm here because I've done something good. Now think about that. I would say 90% of the churches out there would have the idea that I'm here because of permission. I'm here because I've done something great. I'm here because I go to church. I'm here because I tithe. I'm here because I, on and on. Now look, it says in Romans chapter 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. Well, we know it's, if it's this one, it's His faith. If it's this one, it's our faith. This is His. This is ours. Now, in Romans chapter 5, can you tell whose it is? No, you can't. It says you're justified by faith. But we know by other verses, you see, we know by that is the clarity. You can't tell in Romans chapter 5 whose faith it is. Well, you can go back we're going to deal with some of those issues here in just a minute. But, you know, in Romans chapter 5, can you tell? Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking 5:1. Can you tell? No, you can't. So what do you have to do? You have to compare Scripture with Scripture. You guys are overthinking this. You know, you would have to compare other Scriptures with it. You can't get it out of Romans. But what do we know by Romans chapter 5? Are we justified by faith or works? By faith, that's clear. That's unambiguous. It's not, whether it's our faith or His faith, you can't tell in this passage. Now, you guys were running all over trying to figure out all the other passages, and there's great ones, and I've probably given you most of those. But the realization is that the whole concept of justification isn't for us by any human works. It is by faith. And through that faith, we then have what? Peace with God. Why? You know that if you're justified, God isn't going to condemn you. If you are justified, you don't feel condemnation. Why would you feel guilt or burden of guilt if you're justified? That's like saying, I don't feel comfortable. I don't know that I'm a Walmart employee. And you've been working for Walmart for 10 years. You don't feel like you're an employee? Well, I just don't feel like I got to work harder to be an employee. Well, you've been an employee for 10 years. See, people have been justified, and the reason they're working for it is they really don't believe they've been justified. You understand? They're feeling the guilt and the condemnation, and that's why in Romans chapter 8, what does it say? Look at it. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. Why? You're justified. You're justified. There is no condemnation. Why do people feel guilt? Because they really don't understand justification. If they understood it, hey, I could stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back. We did this last week, but it's such a powerful concept. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Hold on to Romans 5. We're going to turn right back. In Genesis chapter 3, it explains the lack of justification. It shows the guilt of Romans chapter 8. It makes you understand the guilt and the condemnation people feel. And let me tell you, I would say 90% of the people are out there are feeling that way. I've invited people to church, and you know, they say, oh, I'm going to need to bring a pillow. And I'm like, well, we got cushions. He said, no, to keep the lightning off. Because why are they feeling that way? The guilt. It's covered them. I mean, it's overwhelmed them. And so, come on down, verse 7, just to cut in the context. Genesis 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they were, they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. What are they trying to do? Cover their nakedness, right? They're trying to cover the guilt. They now know that they've been exposed, and all of a sudden they're feeling guilty. And that is an unjustified condition. Y'all understand? That's unjustified. That guilt, that feeling, that horror, like, hey, I'm guilty. We're all guilty, folks. How many have sinned? All. You don't have to worry about the guilt. It's there. I guarantee you, it's there when you first lie, isn't it? And you know you're lying. And you know what's funny is, we'll still lie as believers. The difference is we know in all that we are that we're justified by faith. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. What does that mean? The aprons didn't get rid of the guilt. Your human work cannot get rid of the guilt. It doesn't matter how much you quit smoking. It doesn't matter how much you quit cussing. It doesn't matter how much you do that. You can't get rid of the guilt until you've been justified. See, I love this story because God put it right in the beginning of the Bible. You're not having a problem with justification. People say, well, I want to be a Joe Christian. Really? Okay, get on with it. But they never get rid of the guilt that they're carrying inside, and they never feel the peace of God and the justification that God has had for them through the cross. They don't feel that. They feel the guilt and the condemnation, and men and their children and men and their wives. I met a lady the other day that was badly verbally beaten by her husband. And I thought to myself, that's a sorry piece of crap. That woman was afraid to talk to me. She kept going like that. When I got done, I said, what was with that situation? And the people that I was with hosting said, that woman has been treated like a doormat. I'm thinking, you know what? She felt so much guilt and condemnation. She wanted to be free so bad she couldn't stand it. And I thought to myself, boy, then that would be an awful way to live. Amen? So they hid themselves from the presence of God. Well, if you're justified, you are not going to hide yourself from the presence of God. You're going to have conversations with God. You're going to walk with God. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be next to Him. And you know, you're not going to be worried about whether He's going to send you to hell. I mean, you think about all the rededication. You know what that tells me? People don't get it right. How many times you walked the aisle for Jesus? 14 times. Which one worked? Don't know. They never got rid of it. Why? Because you can cover yourself with fig leaves, but what happens? When you hear the voice of God, what do? You still hide. You never got justified. You never got justified. Once you're justified, it's a whole different story. There is therefore now no condemnation. Go back to Romans chapter 5. I hope that kind of helped you see the unjustified state of man and the guilt that man carries. And you know what? We all do, don't we? I think about these kids. They try to do right and they flub up, don't you? Aren't you a little liar? It's terrible. Seth, aren't you a little liar? Yeah. Liar. Has Seth ever lied? So he was lying just then too. So he's building up a habit of lying, isn't it? Oh, you lie too? Yes, you do. Go like this. We all lie. You know, why don't we want to admit that we're liars? It would make us look like we're not Christians. But Christians are liars. You know what Christians are? They're justified. Y'all understand? Christians are liars, and liars are liars. What's the difference between a liar and a Christian liar? One's justified. That's the only difference. People want to make it much bigger than that. All right, go back to Romans chapter 5. So, in Romans chapter 5, we have, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God, not through our own efforts in our human life, but through our what? Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is all through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all through what Jesus Christ did for us. Justification. Go to Galatians chapter 3. It says it this way in verse 24. Galatians 3, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. That is, the law was to teach us something. What? To bring us onto Christ. That law was to say, hey, you know what? You're not keeping up with the Joneses. You're not as good as you think you are. You are a little liar. Yikes! That we might be justified by faith. Again, do we know whose faith that is yet? No, not at this point. All we know is we're not justified by the law. We're not justified by the schoolmaster. We're not justified by us doing something. We're justified by faith. You need to underline that. Justified by faith. Look back in Romans chapter 5. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, look if you will, in verse 9. I love this passage because it really makes a clarity here. He said in verse 9, much more than being now justified by His blood. You know what you had to do with His blood? Absolutely nothing. You got it? You're justified by His blood. What did you have to do with that? Now we're starting to find whose faith it must be. Now we're starting to find that definition that it's probably not your faith. Why? You're justified by His blood. Everybody, justified by His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Why? Because you did good? Because you kept the commandments? Because you went to church? Because you got baptized? No, you got justified by His blood. Now, how many here has been to church their whole life and never got justification? Isn't that interesting? That's interesting to me. Because it's the only doctrine that matters. Justified by His blood. Look in Galatians chapter 2. So now we got it that it's His blood. We've got it that it's by faith. But now we're going to determine whose faith is it. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, if your Bible says faith in, you've got a problem. Because now you've got to determine in your mind, is it your faith that justifies you, or is it Christ's faith? And the reason I read Romans chapter 5, verse 9 first was why? So that you can see it's His blood. I mean, justification, if you do, all points to the cross. Every aspect of it. It's His blood. It has really nothing to do with you. That's interesting, isn't it? Because how many churches try to tell you, you got to walk the aisle to join the church? You got to say a prayer to get saved? You don't have to do anywhere. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be something. You don't have to impress anybody. What you've got to do is believe that Jesus Christ paid it all. Now think about that. That is such a simple, easy, profound message. And yet people are absolutely... Is anybody confused at this point? It's not about stop sinning. You couldn't stop sinning if you wanted to. You know, you just can't do it. And you know, many of us have tried, haven't we? Anybody had any luck? If you had any luck, I'll give you a moment to testify. I've not had any luck. You know, when I got to be a preacher, this church, 23 years ago, I wanted to be a sin snuffer. I wanted to live up to that prestigious level of pastor. And some people say, he's gone the other way. And I tried it. I tried hard for the first 3 years of my ministry to be the man that I thought God would have me to be. And then I realized that God wouldn't want me to be that man, that God wanted me to be the person He saved, so that I wasn't the one that was getting the glory. He was. Does that make sense? People would say, boy, Barry, you're just amazing. Really? You got to breathe. Well, that's right. And that's sin. And so what's happened in the Christian is people have been whipped into shape by the law, and they know they can't do it. So what do churches do? They do the rededication thing. How many here has been rededicated at least once? Most of the people in here. Why do they do that? Because they've got to have a way to get rid of that fresh guilt again. You got to get rid of it. Because you really don't if you understood justification and you were justified, would you think you'd rededicate your life? No, the answer is absolutely not. Look at verse 16 again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. See, we believe in Jesus. But it isn't Jesus, it isn't our belief in Jesus. It's His faith that justifies. Remember, we are justified by faith. Now we know whose it is. Don't think that's a big deal? People say, I don't think the King James is a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. If you think you're being justified by what you believe and what you do versus what God did, believing that God the Father would raise Him from the dead, that's the faith of Christ. Those are two different faiths, guys. That means the person that believes in himself is going to end up in hell even though he thinks he has faith. Why? He's not trusting the finished work of Calvary. He trusted in himself. And then he goes on to say, and not by the works of the law. You know, he's repeated that twice in this passage. For by the works of the law shall what? Be justified. But yet that's what they have us doing. They think that we're getting closer to God by our works. And so we're on that treadmill. It gets going faster and they get it going uphill and we just give out. I'm giving out now. Justification. Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. By whose faith? The faith of Christ. And look at it. And the law is not of faith. Do you see that? The law is not of faith. Look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. He justified us. It's His faith. Look in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Amen. Praise the Lord. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, that the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. I need to come up to verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of what? What can the law only produce for us? The knowledge of sin. The law said, thou shalt not covet. You covet, what does that make you? You have the knowledge of sin. It doesn't get rid of the guilt. There's only one thing on this planet that can get rid of the guilt of mankind, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Y'all understand? That's the only thing. People go to church and they say, well, if you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? You know the answer I get 99.9% of the time is I hope I go to heaven. And you ask them, say, okay, why? Say, well, I'm keeping the commandments. I'm going to church. I'm a church member. It's all about them. I've only had 3 right answers out of thousands. Now, you want to know what people's heart is? Ask them that question. Let me ask you that question. If you were to die tonight, where would you go and why? And if you're in your mind thinking, I hope I go to heaven, then my question is, why would God let you in? Well, I'm being the best I can be. I'm doing all that I know to do. I'm trying to keep the commandments. I'm giving money to the church. I'm running the camera for the church. None of those things are going to fly with God. The only pass that God can give you is His own Son's blood. That's it. There's nothing else you can add to it. You're not justified. And so people go, oh, man, if you're talking grace here. Man, if I believed in grace, I'd just go out and sin. Like you're not already. We're the most self-centered, self-serving people I have ever met. Amen. Three times it says you cannot be justified by the law. Write this in your Bible. 3 times. We've read them all, but I'm going to give them to you in order. 3 times it says you cannot be justified by the law. Romans 3, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Let me go over those again so you have them. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Now, I want to skip up to a passage in chapter 4 here. It was a verse everybody's screaming. And but before I do that, I want to read chapter 4, verse 1. Read with me. What Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You see that? It is his faith, his belief. The it is the belief of in God of the same passage. Now, look back in 25. Well, I'm going to read 24. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, that is righteousness, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who's the who? It's Jesus our Lord, right? Who was delivered for our offenses. The word for in the Greek is a Greek word, and you don't need to know this for any special reason. It's D-I-A. And it's translated in Matthew 13:21, because of. So I'm going to read it with the word because of, just so you can kind of get it. Who was delivered because of our offense. Why did he go to that cross? Because of our offenses. For our offenses. You see that? Now, I'm not changing the King James Bible. I believe it's perfect just the way it is. I'm just telling you, he was delivered because of your sin. The reason he went to Calvary's cross was not that he deserved the cross. He became your sin. He became who you were at Calvary. And was raised again for our justification. He was raised again because of our justification. God justified us. How? Man, all that was done before you were ever born. It was done at the resurrection. He was raised because of our what? Our justification. Come on, let's try it again. You guys look a little dead this morning. I'm your double cappuccino with a little espresso added in on top. I don't even know if that's a drink, but try that. Was raised again because of our justification. When was he raised? Yeah, back here. 2,000 years ago, he was raised for our what? When were we justified? Man, you're not justified the moment you believe. You were justified at the cross. People think they're getting saved. They're coming to a realization that Christ saved them at the cross. Like, I'm getting saved now. Really? How long would you have had eternal life? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? How long is eternity? You know this? Listen, yes. What? It is the resurrection. Absolutely. It was a proof. Absolutely. Done. You can't, and my point is you can't add to your justification by anything you've done. When were you justified? When that resurrection came up, it was proof that you've been justified. You know what? Nothing's going to add to that. There isn't anything you're going to go, oh, yeah, I think I'll do this and I'll be a better Christian. No. I mean, think about it. I'm going to really hustle and be the man God wants me to be. Really? You liar. What justified us was the blood of Christ. What justified us was his faith. What justified? Think about all the elements of that, of the justification. Where was the faith of Christ? Before the cross, right? Where did he have to believe God? In that garden. Lord, if you would let this cup pass, but not my will, but thy will be done. You know what that is? That's the faith of Christ. He's looking down that bowl, and he saw you in that bowl in Mark 14. He saw you there, sitting there, and saw your sins and your wickedness, and he realized that if he was going to take of that he was going to become sin for you. You all understand? It took faith. How did he get that faith? Thank you, Gene. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... He heard the word of God and knew that he was the man, Christ Jesus. And he believed God the Father was going to save him. But you got to understand, for that one single little bitty moment in time, that one little bitty point in time, go to Psalms 22. For that single penance of time, he had to believe God totally as a man. The faith of Christ. Psalms 22 yells out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cried in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest of the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou deliverest them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. And all that see me laugh me to scorn, and they shoot out their lips, and they shake their heads, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Think about what they must have gone through. And all that held him in this position was the faith of Christ. That's all that held him. People were mocking him. People were spitting upon him. People broke every human bone in his body. And there, he's sitting there basically totally naked before all. And the only thing he's got to cling on to is the faith that he has in God the Father will raise him from the dead. He yells out to God, but God doesn't answer him. You ever yell out to God and God didn't answer you? You're not alone. He's on the cross and he's in the worst jeopardy of his life. He is about to lose his life and he calls and his God is silence. I'm really suffering on this world. I bet you weren't suffering anything like that. To have that relationship with God the Father, and for your sins, he's separated. For your sins, he's become isolated from God. Because of your sin, see Romans chapter 4, he was delivered because of our offenses. Separated from God because of you. He's separated because of you. You separated Christ from his Father. And the only connection between God the Father and his Son was what? No? That was the only connection. The string that connected God the Father to God the Son was only one fiber thick. It was faith. That was it. One fiber. Faith. That's amazing, isn't it? All he can say about himself is he's a worm. What do you think of yourself? Think you're a hot shot? You really got a braggadocious attitude? You think you're impressing God? Jesus Christ said, I'm a worm and no man. People so full of pride. Let's worship God. They ain't even got the understanding who God is. Jesus Christ said, look at this. What do you think about that? But I am a worm and no man. That's incredible, isn't it? People act like they got something going on. You ought to humble yourself. And you know what? God allowed him that punishment. You ought to read the whole Psalms. I'm not going to read it. It's amazing. Last part of the Psalm, in Psalms 22, he talks about, they shall come and shall deliver his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, for he hath done this. For he hath done this. Isn't that great? See, guys, we're justified by the faith of Christ. But, you know, people say, well, yeah, but you're not taking the whole Bible. Well, amen, we're not. We're taking the part that Paul wrote to the Gentiles. But if you wanted to try to take the whole Bible, you're going to be awfully confused. Go to James. If you can't find James, go to Hebrew and go toward the back, one book. Verse 19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. And I don't see anybody in here shaking. But will thou, thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Well, now you got a conflict. You need putting Romans chapter 4 there. 1-6. Because it says he was justified. Well, one is out of Genesis 22, 9-12. The other one's out of Genesis 15, verse 6. They're actually talking about two different events. Not the same. He was already counted as righteousness. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Thou seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is what? Well, that just went into total conflict to what you just read in Paul's epistles. So now you got to determine. If the whole Bible is written to us, what is it? How are you justified? You know, it's just fascinating. A teacher and a preacher of the Gentiles never once said you're justified by works. In fact, he said, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. And over, three times, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Galatians 3, verse 11, and Galatians 2, verse 16. I just gave you those three verses. You need to write that in your Bible right there. So how is it? Well, you have to rightly divide the Bible. If you believe the whole Bible is written to you, then you're going to have a conflict between those two philosophies. Amen? How are you going to justify it? Say, it's not a big deal to rightly divide. It's huge. It's huge. Because what are you going to do? How many here read those verses or heard those verses preached in the Baptist churches, the Methodist churches, wherever you went? What did you think when you heard it? Yeah, a little bit of trouble. Man, oh my, I got to get on that treadmill and work harder. But when you start to understand rightly dividing, guess what? You start to understand that part of this was, well, who was James written to? Look at James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the what? The 12, are you one of the 12 tribes? This letter was written to the 12 tribes, which were the Jews, which had the law. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's take a break.